Today's episode of Tech Talks on the Unsettled Media Podcast Network is brought to you by Tech Impact, focused on unlocking prosperity by embracing technology. For more, head to techimpact.it.
It's Kathy here, and thanks for joining me on Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson, our weekly podcast about what's happening here in Atlantic Canada and the technology scene. You know, when we set out to do this podcast series, we knew we wanted to tell stories. Why? Because stories inform, they inspire, we cheer the characters on, we write things down when we learn something new. Stories entertain us. And this episode is incredibly inspirational, as we all will learn a whole lot more about two local companies based out of Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're going to dive into a conversation about digital transformation. Let me tell you about our guests. First up is Don Potier, the CEO and founder of Lulujo. And joining her is Scott McIntosh, the CEO of Second Spring Digital. Lulujo is a gem of a Canadian brand founded and operated out of Fredericton, New Brunswick. Dawn and her team have built a product line of over 100 products, from baby blankets, books, towels, quilts, sleepers, hats, and more. To be honest, I have given Lulujo products as baby shower and Christmas presents. They are beautiful. There's no denying that. Dawn sells in over 40 countries through boutiques, department stores, e-commerce platforms, and through her lulujo.com website. Get this, her flagship store in Fredericton is not even 6 months old, and she's been in business over a decade. So of course, you know, we talked about that physical and digital channel journey. I loved how much Dawn talked about her brand and how everything comes down to that brand vision and customer experience. It's at the heart of everything they do, from fabric choice, design, packaging, to distribution channels, every photo, every word on that website, for all of their digital marketing channels and campaigns. She offers loads of advice for other entrepreneurs. Joining Dawn is Scott McIntosh of Second Spring Digital. Scott is a serial entrepreneur and has worked on large and small digital transformational projects for over 20 years. He's been a leader in our tech community, having played leadership roles with Propel. He's with Tech Impact, and as a founder now of multiple technology companies. Digital transformation is an area of specialty for Scott and his team. Most recently, with Second Spring Digital, he's been fine-tuning his customer approach, particularly with e-commerce and digital marketing projects. He shares that approach he calls the customer loop in the podcast, and he has more information about this on his website. This mindset that he talks about in the episode is grounded in trying new things, optimizing, learning, looking at the data, and responding based on how the customer is reacting. They are great words of advice. He's also got an e-commerce masterclass that just got started that would be a tremendous opportunity to learn more about digital. Our guests help us dive into digital transformation and remind us that no technology decision can truly be made without that focus on the customer experience. Thanks so much for joining us today. We've got two guests, as I mentioned in the intro, and I'm going to start off with you, Dawn. Welcome to the show, Dawn. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what your area of focus is.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me. I am the founder and CEO of Lulujo Baby Products. And Lulujo is a company that I started in 2008 with one product, which turned into over 100 products. And we now sell our product in over 40 different countries online and in boutiques, department stores all over the world.
And how could you imagine have that back in 2008? Did you imagine that kind of scale and grandness?
Back in 2008, it was really about, you know, one product that I was creating. And I really wasn't even thinking about starting a company at the time. It was just about a product for myself. And it was really, you know, the excitement of the first retailer who wanted to take on the product that inspired me to continue moving forward. I didn't imagine that we would become such a large brand at the time, but I do remember making the decision to leave my corporate job. And I didn't leave because I was thinking that I was scared that it wasn't going to work. I remember being scared that I knew it was going to be a lot of work. So I knew it was going to turn into something, but I thought, oh, wow, I've got something ahead of me here.
When was the moment you knew the product that you had started with was the beginning of something where you had to make that decision? And I believe you were working for a tech company at the time.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I was working for Innovatia.
Yeah.
As a project manager. And I often say I actually run the company like a project manager. I think that decision came, you really kind of know right from the beginning that there's sort of two main milestones. One was, again, the first time the first retailer in Fredericton took on the product and said, you know, sure, I'll take six of your baby slings. I knew that was something. And then the second milestone was when, you know, there was a few girls and we rented a truck. We drove to Toronto to do a trade show in 2010. And in the first 2 hours, nobody stopped by our trade show booth. And I thought, oh, wow, this is a big mistake. And I was taking time off of work to do that. And then by that afternoon, we had so many customers and retailers from across Canada. And by the end of the show, we had retailers in every single province. And I thought, okay, this is something. So I need to make a decision.
So tell us, you started with what type of product? And how did that product line evolve over the past decade?
I see. Right. I started with a sling to carry my daughter. And really, it was because I couldn't find one here in Fredericton. It wasn't something that I innovated. One of my friends was using one out in BC. I thought it looked really cool. Couldn't find one. I knew how to sew from, I often say, growing up on, you know, rural route number 3 in Nova Scotia. That's really what we did a lot of the time, between playing outside and sewing or making quilts. So I knew how to sew. So I sewed this one product, and that was what, and then after that product became quite popular with retailers in Atlantic Canada, then I knew, well, if I can create this product, I'm sure I can design and create other products. And so I just really started to work with materials and colors that I knew customers would want, and sort of figure out how to find that material. So it went from that to blankets and really anything that I could sew that wasn't difficult. So, you know, teaching myself how to serge a corner, that was a new thing. So if it required any buttonholes, that was not
good. It wasn't on the product line.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, of course, as we evolved and we started manufacturing in much larger amounts and overseas, going from the basement with, you know, several different moms sewing for us to overseas manufacturing, that's when it evolved into an entire new line. I had a little bit more flexibility with designs.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring in our other guest, and then we're going to go more into what you're doing there. Scott McIntosh, great to see you this morning.
Morning.
And you've been a bit of a serial entrepreneur, which we're going to talk about, but you've got a CS background. Tell us a little bit about where you went to school. You're sitting there in Fredericton, New Brunswick this morning. Talk to us.
My background was actually mechanical engineering. And I UNB grad. And there was no co-op in that those days, but I took a 16-month work term at a electronics manufacturer as a mechanical manufacturing engineer, and I didn't enjoy it a whole lot. But I started working on, you know, labeling systems and things like that were I had no vocabulary for it, but it was like the sort of the IT components of the manufacturing process. And by the end of the work term, I had you know, developed some skills there. And then shortly after I graduated, and I had a couple of, you know, engineering offers and a much less lucrative offer from what's now Accenture, but it was then Anderson Consulting, to be sort of an IT consultant. And they would put you through sort of a boot camp where you learn to develop software and things like that. So I took that opportunity out of school, and that's really been my segue into, you know, I guess the, you know, tech industry, where I've been ever since. So
did you ever work as a mechanical engineer per se?
Not after the work term, no.
Isn't that interesting? No. And you just fell in love with the IT elements of the solution.
Yeah, I just liked it. Yeah, it just made sense to me.
So, Scott, you started your own company called Swift Radius.
Swift Radius, yeah.
So you had that for a little while. And what was the focus of that company?
I think from an industry perspective, you call Swift Radius a systems integrator. So what we would go in and work on large tech projects for very large companies. And, you know, that team grew to about 50 people. So occasionally we would own and run the whole project. More often we had a part of a big project, or we were part of the client's team for a big project. So, you know, but what we did is we spent a lot of time in a lot of, you know, complex organizations and complex projects. So it was great. A lot of great learning just took place over the decade there collectively, because, you know, we were asked to work on a lot of, you know, pretty difficult problems.
And then got acquired?
Yeah, then we joined Deloitte in right at the start of 2015. So brought the team into Deloitte. You know, we thought that was a good next opportunity for the team. And yeah, I spent almost the next 5 years there in the partnership of Deloitte Consulting.
Okay, Scott, so you spent time with your own company and then you joined Deloitte. What a change going from your own company to a global IT powerhouse. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I think one of the interesting things was the work didn't change that much. So it was a good fit that way. And the team's experience with, you know, big programs, big companies served them well, really well, because that's, of course, where Deloitte often works. And the culture fit was pretty good too, but, you know, there are some things you need to do to run, what's Deloitte? I think 45 billion of global revenue now. So, you know, there's more metrics, there's more, measurable expectations. You know, I actually believe we should have had more of that in our other company, versus, you know, that being a deficiency of someone like a Deloitte. But that was a bit of an adjustment for the team, you know, more measurable, less, you know, kind of conversational relationship, you know, knowing that, you know, Don and Kathy are great folks in a bigger organization. You want that brand, but you want some numbers as well that are evidencing it. So that was a bit of adjustment for the team, and you know, just a bigger organization and just the nuance of it. So,
You've been an entrepreneur at heart, and next thing you know, you started Second Spring Digital, which is the company you're running now.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the focus of that organization. And e-com is right up at the top of your kind of service offerings there.
Yeah. I've been about a year and a half now growing Second Spring. My primary reason, primary focus in starting that company was helping companies under $1 billion of revenue with digital transformation, because I thought that market wasn't well served. I sort of knew that was a bit challenging. I had started an innovation consulting business before, and I had this eerie feeling that maybe it was a bit similar to that, you know, a bit of a fuzzy concept, but spent some time there, developed some tools, did some projects. But you know, I did find, especially as you got into medium and small sized businesses, it was a very fuzzy concept. It wasn't very tangible for business leaders. And, you know, I knew eventually we would want to focus on some more focused offerings that we could implement anyway. I would say with COVID, we just accelerated that and got more focused on implementing digital transformation, not exclusively doing, you know, strategy and roadmaps. And I would say, you know, we had several offerings in there that pretty quickly took us to e-commerce for the simple reason that it seemed to be the quickest way to add value for a company. And, you know, we found that, you know, in as little as 4 weeks, you know, we were being able to help companies, you know, get results and get on a different path. And that was what people were looking for more so than, you know, the plans and strategies that we were offering up in the first place. So I'd say, you know, we called last year 2020, you know, the experiment year. So we were experimenting with a lot of things, but now I think the results are in, and our strategy for 2021 is exclusively e-commerce. And, you know, we still have those broader digital capabilities that we can help people with. And it takes some of those to be successful in e-commerce lots of times, but we don't come in the front door saying digital transformation and roadmap. We talk about selling online and finding strangers that might want to buy your product and better customer service. And it just seems to connect better. And, you know, we sort of understand each other better, more quickly. That's probably the big thing we like about it: quicker results and better kind of communication.
So Dom, when I think about your journey as an entrepreneur, I think product, you got to have a vision for a product. And then typically when I think of a retail product, I think, well, you must have just created a physical store to sell your products, but that's not the route that you took. You took a very different route. So take us through your strategy and share with our listeners just how different your route was.
Right. And a lot of people ask us that, do we have a physical store? And which we actually do now, but that's only been in the last 6 months, in the last 4 months, actually. When I started, it was about, I really love to create. So it was about the creating and the designing, and I still love to be a part of that. So I was trying to create a brand, and the brand of products is what we were selling. So at the time it was really, you know, and this is, things have changed so much, but you know, back in 2008, 2009, 2010, it was always your brick and mortar stores that were selling your brand. So what was really important to me right from the beginning, right from the first product, was how it was going to be packaged and how is a consumer going to look at that product when they're standing in the store. What kind of emotion is that going to evoke? What kind of color should I use? And that's what I was thinking with, you know, that's how I was looking at it. So the brand sort of evolved into all of these products, but I was using the retailers and distributors at the time to sell the product versus just selling direct. You know, I wasn't even thinking at that time really to sell direct to consumers. It wasn't that type of market, I guess.
And when did that switch happen for you?
Well, I mean, really in the last 3 years, and, you know, we started selling a little bit online direct to consumer, probably, I guess it would be about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, not really knowing what we were doing. But we thought, oh, well, we should sell online as well. At the same time, you know, we've built our business with retailers from not just Atlantic Canada or Canada, but from around the world. And so those retailers are really, you know, the backbone to Lulujo's success now as well, and still extremely important. So we had to sort of, you know, navigate that with, well, if we're selling direct, are we competing against our retailers? And at the beginning, that's really what was happening. So we had to walk quite a little line. now, you know, where we are today, you know, especially in the last year, year and a half, it's very different. You're not actually competing with those retailers as you're creating your brand and selling directly to consumer and, you know, creating your beautiful website, you know, your beautiful content, that's actually helping everyone. It's helping the retailers that are also selling your product. It's helping your distributors because your brand is just becoming more and more known. So that's how we look at it now.
And how did you get started? I would love to say, well, geez, you worked in the tech industry for 5 years. It was just a piece of cake, but I know nothing like moving online is a piece of cake. So how did you get going down this path?
Just, you know, one step at a time, one step at a time, a lot of serendipity, a lot of meeting the right people, a lot of watching the trends. You know, we've done from the beginning is what are the trends in, you know, baby products market, because that's where we are, what's selling, but not even just in baby products, but what are the trends of our consumers? How is a mom shopping in Dubai versus a mom shopping in Fredericton or in, you know, Belleville, Nova Scotia? And so when we started to see that a trend is happening more online, then we said, okay, well, what's the first step? And that's how it always starts. You know, there wasn't a big strategy. Sorry, Scott. but it was, okay, it's time to do this. So how do we do it? And so, let's make sure our website's working properly. But then that evolved, of course, you know, as everything does evolve. And then it became much more clear that it's not just your website. It's every single word, every single sentence, everything you post on Instagram. And it's just becoming more and more and more and more focused now. So you have to have a tight strategy at this point if you're coming in fresh.
Scott, does that sound familiar?
Yeah, well, our first company went 5 years with a half page business plan. So I totally understand not having a strategy.
Yeah,
I do think like one of the things we talk about is, you know, companies, I think everyone understands what e-commerce is, or at least business to consumer e-commerce, because we all use it. So, you know, Amazon or a Shopify site, you know, credit cards, checkout. I think everyone understands that. But what we try to help people with is, you know, it really is a whole loop about your customer. So there's big marketing pieces to attract new people and have them spend time with you until they're interested to buy. There is the sell piece itself. There's big conversion aspects to it that need thought if you're going to get, you know, to the level that Don's at. And then how you ship, like what that costs, how quickly it comes, you know, what do you charge people for it? People have this irrational relationship with paying shipping charges. They hate it, you know, so how do you manage that? They're looking for 1 or 2 days delivery time, thanks to Amazon. How do you manage that? So, and then there's the whole customer satisfaction piece that's so important, because if you do all that well, and then you don't deal with the damaged orders and the returns and the, you know, slow shipments and stuff really effectively, then all the gains you've made on the front start to sort of fritter away. So there's lots to think about, lots of moves you can make. And what we like to do is try to help people sift through all that and pick, you know, 2 or 3 next moves and sort of, you know, get in motion, try some things, make some improvements, measure again, you know, pick 2 or 3 more things. And it's just sort of this constant cycle of testing and iterating and trying things and measuring and going again. And, you know, over time, the winning, you know, strategies for your business start to emerge and you build the momentum. But it's a lot more than the shopping cart, for sure.
But it sounds like it's rooted in what does that customer want and what kind of experience are you going to give them, whether it be in a physical store, but in an electronic store. That's where the heart of the evolution has to come.
Yeah. Ideal customer work is like the first thing, for sure. Yeah. Who are you looking for?
And we tend to think it's about the technology first, but it's never about the technology. Is that your experience where you are thinking, Dawn?
Absolutely. Once again, years ago, you would walk into a store or boutique, you know, form a relationship with that buyer and say like, okay, I have some baby stuff. You sell baby stuff. Do you want to work together? And there's a level of trust between the retailer and the business. And of course, you know, and the products that you create. And so now dealing directly with the consumer and online, it's about creating that relationship directly with them as well. You know, we create baby products. You want to buy a baby product. This is actually who we are. Yes, we have an excellent product and it's at a good price, but there's also people behind it and a brand behind it and customer service behind it. And we want to help and support you through that purchase and product. So customer service is extremely important. That is one thing that hasn't changed. And it's about connecting with that consumer digitally versus connecting with them, face to face. And that's totally possible. The authenticity about your brand and the people behind it is extremely important.
How do you look at creating that technology strategy when you're selling in 40 countries and you have over 100 products and you're trying to create that experience online? How do you go about the tech? This is a Tech Talks podcast, so we want to talk a little bit about how do you approach that as an online retailer?
Well, the technical part is definitely, part of the most, the difficult. You know, you're going to want to obviously reach out to people that can help you in that part. You know, that was one thing that we didn't know. Like, what does this mean? All these little things on, you know, your website, or what are you talking about, an SEO campaign? I don't understand that. And that's okay. I think that that's actually part of it, that if you're starting off right now and you're not sure what all these words are and optimize, hashtag, whatever that is, I guess hashtag's an old one, but if you don't understand, that's okay. It's like everyone's been in that boat. And so there are people there and tech people available in Atlantic Canada that can help you with that language and help you, you know, move that part forward. Just as if when you're starting your own business and you don't know much about accounting, you're going to use an accountant. So if you're going into digital, you're going to use digital people. And that I would definitely invest into that part. Don't try to do it all alone now. Years ago, you know, it was a little bit slower and now things are moving really fast. So if you're going to go down that route, then use service providers that can help you.
And how big of a jump was it to go from selling in Canada online to selling globally?
Well, we sell globally in so many different ways, but we sell globally, not so much online. We sell globally to our distributors, and then we use platforms in different parts of the world. So in China, we would use Alibaba and JD. Those would be our online platforms that we sell through. So we're not shipping the product directly from here to there. We're working with, you know, warehouses in each different country, you know, based on how they can help us as well. And then in the United States, we had no problem selling in the United States as well. The biggest problem is actually, again, the shipping. So once we could wrap our head around the expense of the shipping and, you know, try to find that trying to get it to level off, that it actually made sense to sell our products into the United States online. That's when we went in that route.
Okay. And Scott, is this a familiar story you hear working with clients as they're trying to navigate their technical paths forward?
It is. I mean, Dawn's being a bit modest too, though. I mean, I think Lulujoe is advanced compared to most, most organizations we see. They've done, I think all the big things are in place for Lulujoe. It's about like optimization and growth. So, it makes it a lot of it fun. So I think, but I think as Dawn said, like the journey, the journey a lot of folks are starting or in the last year or now is sort of, I think, what Lulujoe started a couple of years before. And then I think, I think all the steps that Dawn is talking about, people need to work through. And then once you have like Don has, then, you know, then you're using, you know, it's optimize this and optimize that and more traffic here. And, now we have more scale here. So what can we do? You know, what can we do with that? You know, and it's like efficiency, optimize growth type stuff. So it's a lot of fun. It's like kind of like a giant puzzle. There's all these, you know, moves you can make and you sort of build a hypothesis that, you know, this should cause that to happen. Try it and see, right? And sometimes you were bang on, and sometimes maddeningly it doesn't quite go the way you want. So it's this things happen quickly in e-commerce. The tools are good enough that you can make a change quickly, and the markets change quickly, and your other people in the landscape, you know, are doing things as well, and that impacts you. So it doesn't lend itself to big, long, drawn out projects. It's about little short activities and measure, and is what seems to work the best.
And I think what I would think of that as is it's analytics. You know, that's another hot word that we would use, is you are always watching your analytics versus what I guess the word would be before would be our trends. Now you're looking like, why is this selling? Why is this selling in this part of the country? And then go with it.
Tell me a bit about some of the staff you have helping you run this operation.
Well, we are a smaller team. We have, you know, four of us here in Fredericton. We have a couple of people in Toronto, and then we have our creative designer who has his own company here in Fredericton as well, which is Creative Juices, and has been with us from the beginning, which is extremely important. Your graphic design and your design of your product. Now that we're selling so much online, our team is always about like every word that goes out there, every photo, every video that we take, it's got to look like Lulu Joe. So that's how we all look at it now, and all, you know, we're all invested into it and making sure that our story is portrayed visually, whether it's through our website, whether it's through Instagram or Facebook, whether it's through our paper catalogs, which we will still use for, you know, different countries.
And partnerships like your books and the authors that you're picking. I bought them for friends. Oh, so, and I love, you have a book, you have a product, a blanket, you have these things combined. Tell me about your partnerships and how important those are when you're thinking about your growth.
So something like the book and the blanket, which was a partnership with Sherry Fitch, once again, very authentic to Lulu Joe. You know, we wanted to create a product that, whether it was a teddy bear or a doll, that would represent Lulu and Joe. And when we created the doll, we knew we wanted a story about it, and who would we want to write it? Well, we didn't just want anyone. So the partnership was important because that also, you know, Sherry Fitch is an Atlantic Canadian author, very well known, you know, around the world. And she was just so lovely to work with. And then the illustrator, also a local physician here in Fredericton, great to work with and really could understand the brand. So we knew that they could write about and illustrate our brand if they could understand the brand. So, you know, once goes back to the relationship.
And Scott, the depth that Don talks about, how do you help customers get there on their journey of adopting a digital path forward with e-commerce? Obviously, Don's been at this for over a decade, and it takes a long time to have that maturity in the model and thinking. How do you help customers get started?
Yeah, we're seeking testing for product market fit on a few things. So this is our product market fit year in 2021. So some of the things we're working on are training and educational offerings. So we have what's called an e-commerce masterclass that's running through Atlantic Canada. We're very pleased with that. We really enjoy it. And, you know, my background's in professional services, and I'm really happy with the value you seem to be able to provide someone for what you need to charge. And, you know, not everyone's ready, willing, or able to work with you in like a one-on-one professional services model. And, you know, we have 30 companies in a masterclass right now. So we're really liking that one. We think that is something that, we're probably close to product market fit on and can use in our own, you know, export growth. We'd like to help people across North America. So that's one. We are working on a couple concepts for SaaS products. I think those are early days there. I know, you know, from Propel and various outings to be, you know, to spend the right amount of time on the, you know, customer development and testing the concepts before starting the development. So we're in early stages there, but we think there are a couple of gaps actually in analytics for e-commerce and comprehensive ones like we talked about, and maybe related goal setting and favorite topics of ours too. So we're playing around in there. You know, in the next quarter or two we'll either, you know, decide to advance those or decide that, you know, our hunches weren't quite right. So there's that front. And then there is services. We are doing some, we're definitely doing one-on-one consulting like projects. We do some digital strategy and roadmap work, although that's sort of not what we're, you know, that's not on the front page of our website these days, but certainly the capabilities there. We do implementation for e-commerce and related marketing. That's kind of what my background's in. But the other one we're interested in is this notion of, we're calling it run and grow, but it's to say, if e-commerce is that iterative and you can make a lot of small moves, how can you get away from like big projects and get to just working together month over month with sort of a manageable budget, watching the data, like Don says, watching the trends, check in once a week, pick a few moves. You know, there's a few hours of work that our team can do. And we're really liking that one. It seems to be a better fit with e-commerce businesses and small and medium sized companies than, one of my enterprise clients told me one time that when your team lands, it's like the bulldozer, and you need to run along in front of the bulldozer so you don't get run over. And that was a very, very large company. So, you know, if you can very easily become a bulldozer in a small company if you're not careful. And this run and grow approach, if we're going to help people with services, just seems to work a whole lot better for everybody. And even our team, because they feel great about it too, because it ends up being fairly high impact stuff. So they quite like it too. So yeah, so I would say, product market fit, but those are the things we're doing. And you know, we'll probably close one or two of those doors by the end of the year and really focus in on the ones that are left.
Love it. You know, that's a great approach as you're trying to grow and get focused in this space. You know, Don, often people will say, can you do this from here? Here we are. I grew up on the number 7 in Nova Scotia, so I know what rural living is like down on the eastern shore of Nova Scotia. But often we get, how do you grow a retail consumer product brand globally from Fredericton, New Brunswick? And there's lots of people who say you can't do that from here. It's just too darn hard, but you've obviously done it.
I think exactly the opposite. And I often sometimes when I'm talking to students, especially, you know, high school students and university students who are thinking about what they want to do next or where they want to go, I truly believe that if you want to start a company, whatever it is. So if you want to start a consumer brand or any company, Atlantic Canada is like where you actually should be doing it, because here is where you're going to get most of the support. People are accessible. They're the smartest and hardest working people I've ever worked with. Creative, Definitely like world-class creative and graphic designers, you know, right here in Atlantic Canada. And it's a little bit more inexpensive to live here. So you can actually test out and try out things, you know, at the time, versus if you're in a big city and trying to create this company, you know, creating a company is like almost like creating a family. You need, it's a community support. You need a lot of different people and a lot of different relationships to actually make that grow. So why wouldn't you want to just stay in Atlantic Canada? Because then you have all this entire family and community. It's easy to connect. If you don't know who, if you can't find the right accountant, probably your next door neighbor will tell you who a good accountant is. And so, or if you need to find packaging and you don't know where to find packaging, it's probably going to take you 2 phone calls to find that answer. And so everything's right here. I absolutely do it from here.
And it hasn't been an inhibiting factor to your growth.
The biggest thing is the flying through Toronto and Montreal to try to get somewhere else. So no, it hasn't.
So talk about the vision. Scott just laid out for us, you know, what's ahead for 2021 as he's scaling. Tell us your vision for your product and your company.
Our vision is that we're going to continue focusing on our digital. And really, when I say focus, it's not just saying we're going to focus on that. We're taking every step and looking at every corner, trying to figure out exactly what is the best path, analyzing the data. And not just one of us, but all of us. We're all behind that. And once again, I spoke of before and earlier, is that it's not about just the vision of selling directly online. Yes, we're selling online and we're going to continue selling online, and that's going to grow significantly. There's no question. But as we do that, we're also looking at how we're creating the brand visually for the world market through our digital platforms. So if you're looking at Lulujoe in China, if you're looking at Lulujoe in Japan, or if you're looking at Lulujoe in Canada, if you're a retailer, a consumer, or a distributor, it's consistent. And that's so important. The language, the message, the tone, the color. And so that is what we're really focusing in on.
How do you stay up to date with the tools, the platforms, the capabilities? And I don't mean the technical components of it. But TikTok didn't exist 3 years ago. And now, how many times is a TikTok video right. showing up in every social media feed we have? It's changing so fast.
So fast. Surely it's got to slow down soon, right? Is there going to be another TikTok next month or what? That's a great question. You know, it's you just got to run with it.
It's like, okay,
here's another obstacle. Here's a platform that, you know, we don't understand, or it's not even a platform. It could be anything. And we need to change fast. We need to pivot. Someone else has done it. We can do it. How do we do it? How do we get around it?
Just go do it.
Yeah. Just keep moving forward.
Does it ever feel overwhelming? The amount of change that happens in the digital selling space?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's there is so much, and the change is, it's a lot of change. For me, I always look at it versus instead of looking at it like as a challenge that's overwhelming, I try to look at it like, what am I going to learn today? So if I was in school, and what would I be learning in class today? Well, okay, so this week I'm going to learn about how to create this story on Instagram. And so if you look at it, if you can sort of change your mind around and look at it as an opportunity and a learning element versus, oh my God, this is really scary, I don't know if I can do this, it will actually help you move forward a little bit more. And also, you know, you don't have to do everything. Just because, you know, we look at some of our competitors who exactly, they have like this incredible Instagram account or Facebook. And you know, maybe they've put more attention onto that, whereas we've maybe put more attention onto our packaging. So we continue to work on what we know what to do well, and what we don't know what to do, then we'll have other people come in and help us.
So, Scott, how do we end the podcast off? I'll ask you both. How and what advice would you be giving to someone listening to this show that's thinking, I need to do a better job of my brand and moving it online and creating those new growth opportunities. How do I get started with confidence?
I can answer that. I might put a little twist on it, because there's something we're uncovering, I guess, is if I kind of loop back a little bit, a lot of business folks don't resonate with a term of digital transformation. E-commerce, they understand. And if they're retailers and folks like Don, or they aspire to do what Don's doing, they immediately get it and they want to get in action. And there's whole playbooks for that. And it's a very happy, thing to work with them. The other part of e-commerce is B2B e-commerce, and it's very poorly understood. And we've had a number of conversations like, well, I sell 18-wheelers or fire trucks or ambulances and e-commerce. So you think I will put that in a shopping cart and have someone put in their Amex? It's $400,000. And the whole topic closes, whereas there's tremendous opportunities around, the attract piece to try and find more customers or dealers, enabling your sales team. So configure price, quote, manage complex pricing, take all the order management and administration out of your sales team so they can focus on helping your customers better or having capacity for new ones is a massive opportunity that I think gets missed, because unfortunately it's called B2B e-commerce in industry terms, and people conflate it with normal e-commerce. So that's what we're working on right now. And I think in Atlanta, Canada, there are so many strong B2B B2B companies. And I think for a lot of them, B2B e-commerce would make a great early project in digital transformation, because it's something that from a relative perspective, you can do fairly quickly. You can get quantifiable gains as well. You can get your team and your customers used to change, managing change and all that. And then if you tackle, ERP upgrade or digital manufacturing and things that are harder and maybe don't generate benefits on your financial statements right away, you'll have this capability to do it. So that's the type of thing we're working on right now this quarter, is like, how do we describe that better? How do we help people understand that it's not an 18-wheeler in a shopping cart? It's helping your sales team get better leads, be more efficient. And so, I love any advice there. I think once we, and even collectively as an industry, I think once we help more businesses, kind of align with us there, have a common vocabulary on it, that there's quite a bit of benefit there for people. So long answer, but I'm just been thinking a lot about this topic here the last couple of months. So,
but in the short term, you have your masterclass going on.
Yeah.
And so you've got tools right now out there for businesses to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah. And what we say, like, everyone can work on their marketing. Like I blanket statements are dangerous, but I'm fairly comfortable with that one. I think anyone could work on who their ideal customer is, improving their ability to get found online for the right things, like have a keyword strategy, have an SEO campaign, like Don mentioned. Right behind that, you could do some digital advertising, but it kind of should go in that order. But I think that's, that's something anyone, whatever else you're going to do, that you can't miss. You can't miss with some efforts there. So
Don, you've got a decade of experience now for that business in Atlantic Canada that's really thinking about how do they grow and scale outside of their existing markets. What advice would you be happy to share with them here this morning?
I'd say just take the next step forward. If you don't know where to go or where to find the answer, you know, try to find someone who you can ask that question. The answers are there. There is a step forward. There is a way to do it, and just take the next step.
And what do you hope to see for the next decade for your business, Dawn?
That's always a tough question.
It is.
I wish I could say exactly, I wish I could tell you exactly what it's going to look like in 10 years. But one thing I will tell you with a decade of experience is that things change every single year. If I could go and look, when I look back the last 10 years of Lulu Joe, you know, you evolve to what's happening around you and mm-hmm. you grow with what's going. As long as, you know, you're paying attention, you're staying focused, and you have a really good team, you just keep moving forward. But it changes every year.
Well, I'm excited to see some new products as they evolve. And I think it'd be really interesting getting through the pandemic, obviously, but knowing how much you're learning with your physical store and how much it's going to be driving some of your marketing and product ideas.
And that was exactly the reason for the physical store, was not absolutely just having a physical presence and selling directly to, you know, people in Fredericton or people coming to Fredericton. It was actually also about, we can actually live test some of our products, because the moms and the grandparents and parents and dads that have tried our products here in Fredericton, They're our best testers. They're our best advocates. They're also our best. They're the people who are going to say, like, this works, this doesn't work. Oh, we love this about Lulu Joe. They're going to be honest. So, which is perfect. So it's a perfect test market. Really, again, once again, right here in Fredericton, we test the products out for the rest of the world, and that works.
Well, we're so glad that you could both join us today so we could talk about this story. I think you have some fantastic products. And so I wish you the best of luck with all your learning in 2021 to see where you go next.
Thank you,
Scott, for being a champion for digital transformation in e-commerce, and look forward to working with you more in the future as well.
Thank you.
Another episode of Tech Talks is behind us here now as we close up the session. What two great guests sharing their experience and inspiring us to think about digital in new ways. You know, Dawn has grown this international retail company out of Fredericton, and she, like so many others, tells us of all the advantages of living here and making Atlantic Canada, and in this case, New Brunswick, home. It's amazing to see what her and her team have built, and it's going to be exciting to see how they continue to grow. And Scott is always iterating, always thinking about new approaches of how to do the work in more meaningful and impactful ways. And by sharing this knowledge, we all learn and grow. We are just getting started on digital transformation, and we've got so many more topics to dive into in the weeks ahead. Any content we're producing can be found at techimpact.it. Thanks again to Dawn and to Scott. Thanks for listening. Be sure to read the blog to learn more about the show and check out the beautiful products at lulujoe.com. And you can find Second Spring Digital at secondspring.co. Talk soon.
Tech Talks is brought to you by Tech Impact. Learn more at techimpact.it. The podcast is hosted by Tech Impact CEO Kathy Simpson. It's produced by me, Matt George. It's engineered by the great Zachary Pelletier and is part of the Unsettled Media Podcast Network.